Once again, I'd like to welcome Alfredo into the fellowship. Queremos darle la bienvenida a Alfredo, que va a empezar a venir a nuestra reunión. I'd like to continue in the book of Acts. We're going to be doing the book of Acts, chapter 12. Vamos a estar en el libro de Hechos, capítulo 12. Let's start at verse 1. And after I read the chapter, we'll pray. Verse 1, chapter 12 of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him in church, for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie up your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they passed the first and the second gates, guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go and tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down to Judea, from Judea to Samaria, to Caesarea, sorry, and stayed there. Verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately the angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname is Mark. Let's pray. Father, prayer was lifted up before you by Jonathan. Lord, Father, I don't feel worthy to share your word, but I've been picked, Lord, to share this Sunday. So, Father, I ask that you would take the words that I speak, Lord, and use them for your glory. May you touch the heart of someone, Lord. Though my words may not be eloquent, Lord, they come from a heart that wants to do your will. So, Father, may you be glorified during this message. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The chapter starts out with King Herod killing James, where it says, "About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also." Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is a time of the Passover, where the Jews were to celebrate the Passover but not having leaven in their bread. I don't know how many here have ever tasted unleavened bread. I don't think it tastes too good. But it was to celebrate when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt. And God had told Moses Moses to tell the people to sacrifice a lamb and to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of their homes, and the angel of death, when he passed by, would see the blood on their house. For God had said that he was going to kill the firstborn of all in Egypt that didn't believe. And there were, I imagine, people that said to themselves, sacrificing an animal and putting the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, how is that going to save my firstborn from being killed? And just like Pharaoh had told Moses all those times, I'm not going to let the people go. And Moses brought the plagues that God had said he would bring upon Pharaoh. And time again, Pharaoh said he would let the people go, but then he would repent and change his mind. It reminds me of before I got saved, how I would get in trouble and I would pray to God, get me out of this. And I promise I'll do this or that. And it seems that the Lord would get me out of the problem I was in, but then I would forget about God and the promises that I made. So it continues to say in verse 4, and when he had arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. A squad is four soldiers. And this is four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. 16 people, 16 guards, Roman guards, to watch one man. You'd think that that would be a little bit too much. Verse 5 says, but Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers and the guards that kept the door. So here's Peter, bound with chains, a chain on each hand, and the other side of that chain chained to a Roman soldier, and two guards outside the door. And it says, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and said, struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. I was thinking about this. Did the soldier see the light? It says that a light shone in the prison. So Peter saw the light. I wonder if at this time the guards had been asleep or something. I wonder if the angel had caused the guards not to see the light. But he said he struck Peter on the side and said, arise quickly, and the chains fell off his hands. So here's a miracle where Peter's chains just fall off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie up your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." Verse 9. So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, if what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So Peter is doing all of this, and he thinks that he's seeing a vision or dreaming. But it's real. Verse 10 says, when they were past the first and second guards, once again, were the guards asleep? Were they in a trance that they didn't see the Peter? I don't think they would have seen the angel. It says, when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. So they get out of the prison, they get out of the cell, they get past the guards, and they get to a gate that leads to the city. The gate is locked because it's a prison, and yet it opens of its own accord. And it says they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Peter finally came to himself. He seemed like woke up from a dream, because it seemed that he thought he was dreaming or seeing a vision when all of this was taking place. The angel appearing to him, the angel telling him to put on his sandals and to gird up his garment and to say, "Follow him." The chains falling up and off his hands, getting past the guards, the first and second guards. All of this seemed like a dream to him. And it was finally that he realized, after they were outside of the prison, that Peter realized. And it says, and when he had come out to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Herod was planning on killing Peter. The Jewish people were expecting it. So remember that they were pleased when he had killed James. Because it says in verse 3 that after killing James, he saw that it pleased the Jews, and he proceeded to seize Peter also. Verse 12 says, and when he had considered this, after thinking about what had taken place, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came and answered. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. I find this kind of funny. As she comes to the door, they're praying for Peter. Peter knocks on the door, and the girl comes to the door. I'm sure she was praying for Peter also. But when she recognizes Peter's voice, because she's so glad, she didn't open the gate. You would think that she would have, but she didn't. What she does is that she ran back in and announced that Peter stood before the door. She knew it was Peter. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." That struck me when I read that they said it's his angel. Rhoda thought that it was, she was so amazed and recognizing Peter's voice that she was so glad that she didn't even open the door. But she just ran inside and told them that Peter stood before the gate. And they say to her, "You're a little confused. It can't be. You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting, "It's Peter. I'm telling you, it's Peter." And they end up saying, it's his angel. When I read that, I said, what are they saying? It's his angel. What do they mean? And as I looked into it, it turns out that the Jewish people at the time, when somebody had died, his angel would appear in the appearance of the individual that had passed away. So they thought Peter was dead and that his angel was at the gate, which still kind of struck me kind of funny, because you won't believe that Peter's at the gate, but you believe that an angel is knocking at the gate, an angel? Verse 16 says, "Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." I think I'd be so also. You're praying for somebody that's in prison under Roman guard. If you were put under Roman guard, you would, unlikely, get out. You would unlikely escape. And it would only take an act of God to get you out. So I guess they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hands to keep silent, I could see where they would be excited and start to say, "Peter, Peter, we're glad, we were praying for you." And he raises his hand and he motions to them to keep quiet. And he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He tells them, "This is what took place. I saw the light, and the angel said, 'Arise.' And I raised up, and he said, 'Put on your sandals and gird yourself. Put on your garment.' And he led me out of the prison. We went past the gates. The chains fell off my hands." They just fell off my hands. I mean, that must have been a shocking thing to him. And that's why he thought he was in a vision, because this thing couldn't happen. Chains don't just fall off your hands. But he told them, these things took place. And then he said, go and tell James and the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Verse 18 says, then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. I imagine so. Here are 16 soldiers that are put in charge of one man. And in the morning, when they wake up, he's not there. Roman soldiers, if your prisoner got away, you would be put to death. You would be executed in their place. So you can imagine, how would you feel? Think about how you would feel if you were put in charge of somebody and in the morning they weren't in the cell and you knew that you're going to be executed in place of that prisoner. So it says there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. But when Herod had searched for him, verse 19 says, and when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. This is similar to what happened to Jesus in Matthew. When they were questioned, in fact, They were questioned. The Jews, they came to the Jews and the Jews said, what happened? And they said, he disappeared. It must have been his disciples that came and stole him during the night. That's what they tell, the Jews tell the guards to say about Jesus, that his disciples came and stole him during the night. And they were concerned because they say, well, Herod's not going to believe it. And the Jewish Pharisees say, we'll talk to them, we'll get you. I can't think of the word to say. But what they were saying was, don't worry, you won't be put to death, we'll get you released. And they gave them money to say that. So when it says that when Herod searched for him and found him not, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Verse 20 says, now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, verse 21, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, this is the voice of a god and not of a man. This is the voice of a God and not of man. They were trying to make him feel good because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. Then it says, verse 23, and immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, struck Herod, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. I was thinking about this, and I said to myself, did that happen immediately? Was he eaten by worms in front of the people? Or did this take a little bit of time? Think about that. Because he did not give God the glory, it says he was eaten by worms and died. I would tend to think that God would want the people who are saying, this is the voice of a God and not of a man, I would think that God would strike him and cause him, when it says, to be eaten by worms, that he would do it so that the people would see it, so that they would be shocked. I mean, for it to happen to him later on when the people weren't there, he would be punished, but the people would continue the way they used to think, to say, this is the voice of a God. They wouldn't be shocked. But if you saw the man, after saying to the man, it's the voice of a God, not of a man, and God striking him, causing him to be eaten, can you imagine what that would be like to see somebody being eaten by worms? I get turned off when I watch television and I see when they show a body and they have these little white worms. I don't know what they're called. These little white worms, and you see them on the mouth and in the nose and in the eyes, and they're eating up the flesh. I get turned off. Now you know that it's not real. It's a television program. But I say to myself, what would it be like to actually see worms eating a person alive in front of you? Because he didn't give God the glory. Verse 24 says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. I would think so. I would think that the people would then say, there's something to this. Verse 25 says, and Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. This is the same Mark, I believe, that left them at another time when they were out ministering to people. So here, this chapter is talking about what happened to the disciple. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles by many people, but I think the other title for them, for this particular book, is better to say that it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing this, that causes the angel to appear to Peter. This chapter tells us what happens to someone who's obedient to the Lord. This chapter tells us about when we know that somebody's in trouble, or when we have a great need, that we should pray and not be surprised when God answers our prayers. There's a place in the Bible where it says that when we pray about something, we shouldn't be like doubtful about things. We shouldn't be like the waves of the sea tossed, but that we should believe that God is going to answer our prayers. Peter was really surprised. But then after that, he was assured that God would watch over him. And Herod. I was going to say, poor Herod. We could almost feel sad for him. But the fact that he didn't give God the glory. Should change your mind, should change our minds. And it should make us think about how obedient we should be to the Lord. I don't think that he would punish someone today by having them be eaten by worms and died. However, that could happen. But it should show us how strongly God feels about being obedient to him, about giving him the glory in our lives. Those of us who know the Lord know the forgiveness that he gives, the peace that he gives, the joy that he gives. And our brother earlier had quoted the verse from John, chapter 1, where it says that, how do we become children of God? And it was by believing in his name. That's how easy it is to become a child of God. That's how we can be kept from going to hell, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. All you have to do, all we have to do is ask God to forgive us of our sins, to accept Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, believe in our hearts that Jesus died for us, and confess him with the mouth. If you haven't done that yet, think about it and then do it. Don't put it off. Let's pray. Father, once again, I wonder, Lord, what this chapter could mean to someone. But I did the best I could at reading it, Lord. Of explaining what I felt, I saw in this chapter. I pray, Father, that you'll take what was read, what I said, and use it in the hearts of someone, Lord, that it might help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it might help us to grow and be more like him. That it might help us to live a life pleasing to you, Lord, so that one day when we enter your presence, we might say to us, Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome into the presence of your Lord. Father, we do ask your blessing upon what was said. And we ask your blessing upon us as we go now our separate ways to our homes. We pray that you would get us to our homes or wherever we're going to go, Lord, with your peace, your timing, your safety. And again, Father, may you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.